Well, Facebook executives had a busy weekend defending themselves against US President Joe Biden's assertion that the social media platform is killing people by allowing misinformation about coronavirus vaccines to spread. Matt Bevin's been taking a look. Hi, Matt.
Morning, Fran. Yeah, there's been a bit of tension between the Biden administration and Facebook ever since the 4th of July, when Joe Biden's deadline for giving 70% of adults in America at least one dose of a COVID vaccine came and went. The actual number fell far short of that. But on the weekend, the president upped the stakes a bit, essentially accusing Facebook of being responsible for the deaths of infected, unvaccinated Americans.
On COVID misinformation, what's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people. I mean, it really... Look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
He's made two assertions there. One is definitely true. The other one is difficult to prove. As for whether the only pandemic they have is among the unvaccinated, that's looking pretty accurate. Across the country, as the Delta variant spreads, the seven-day average of new cases has increased by nearly 70%. In the last week, hospitalizations are up 36% and deaths from the virus have risen steadily. But the thing is, 99% of the people dying are unvaccinated. Analysis from the Commonwealth Fund estimates that up until the beginning of this month, the US vaccination program has saved 279,000 lives and prevented 1.25 million hospitalizations. But the vaccination rate is flatlining. They reached 44% of their population vaccinated with at least one dose by the end of April. But since then, they've only reached 56%. There's no lack of supply, so the Biden administration is pinning the blame on vaccine hesitancy, and they say it's being spread by the social media companies, including Facebook. Here's the Surgeon General Vivek Murthy speaking to ABC America.
And we know that health misinformation harms people's health. It costs them their lives. Health misinformation takes away our freedom and our power to make decisions for us and for our families. This is not a new problem, Martha, to be clear. You know, as a doctor, I have for years sat with patients and worked with them to try to untangle the web of misinformation about health that they have gotten on social media and from other sources.
It's not news that anti-vaccine misinformation spreads on social media. This was a focus of a US congressional investigation even before the pandemic. In 2019, an 18-year-old named Ethan Lindenberger made national news when he testified about his decision to get himself vaccinated despite his mother's belief that vaccines were harmful. He said that he believed his mother's belief came out of fear and love for her family.
My mother would turn to anti-vaccine groups online and on social media, looking for her evidence and defense rather than health officials and through credible sources. For certain individuals and organizations that spread this misinformation, they instill fear into the public for their own gain selfishly and do so knowing that their information is incorrect. For my mother, her love, affection, and care as a parent was used to push an agenda to create a false distress.
In response to that in 2019, Facebook said they would crack down on vaccine skeptics, banning anti-vaccine ads and tweaking their algorithms so pages that spread anti-vaccination messages aren't being recommended. That was before the pandemic. But if you've spent any time looking at Facebook during the pandemic, you'll know that the misinformation has continued to spread. The White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says she has cited over the weekend a new study from US-UK NGO, the Centre for Countering Digital Hate, showing the way Facebook amplifies the views of a very small number of anti-vaxxers.
There's about 12 people who are producing 65% of anti-vaccine misinformation on social media platforms. All of them remain active on Facebook, despite some even being banned on other platforms, including ones that Facebook owns.
Facebook denies they're responsible, saying they're being made a scapegoat for the Biden administration's failure to get people vaccinated, and saying that despite the misinformation on their platform, 85% of their users want to get vaccinated. But the Biden administration's response is that we have no idea if that's true. The data is not public. Former Facebook executive Brian Boland says that's something that could be changed.
There's this saying at Facebook, which is data wins arguments. And you could understand whether this is a massive problem or a smaller problem if everyone was looking at the same data. And that's part of the problem, is that I feel like, you know, the president is left without the data that he needs to really understand what role Facebook's playing in the issue. So Facebook absolutely has that data, and they look at it, but do they look at it the right way? Do they look at it enough? Are they investing in the teams as fully as they should? and getting other partners to look at that data the way they should? I don't think so.
Fran, later this week, we're going to be taking more of a look at this, speaking to the author of a new book, probing how Facebook works and how they cope with the spread of misinformation and extremism on their platform. Essentially, the message of the book is that it makes Facebook money, so they tend to ignore it until they absolutely can't anymore, at which point the damage is often already done. The book's called An Ugly Truth. It's really interesting, and we'll have more on that later this week.
I can see why the book's called An Ugly Truth. Matt, thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Fran.
Matt Bevin.